Well, He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. It's good to see everybody this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. It's a beautiful day. So it's really been a blessing to be in God's house this morning. But it's also time to be focused on what we're here about this morning. To be focused on worshiping our Lord and Savior. Especially on this day that we celebrate His resurrection from the dead. It is important for us to remember that He came and He lived for us, died for us, and then rose again for us, as we'll hear about in our cantata this morning. But let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for a beautiful day. We thank You for Your many blessings. And we thank You, Father, for Your grace and Your mercy. And we pray, Lord, that You would guide our hearts this morning. Help us to be sensitive to Your Spirit. Help us to keep our hearts open to You. And Father, help us to glorify You and praise You for the wonderful Savior You sent to us. Lord, that we might spend eternity with You through His sacrifice. And Lord, through Your power that raised Him from the dead, and that He's alive today, and we serve a risen Savior. I pray You guide our time this morning. Help us to be focused on You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's really a blessing. Music is uplifting. It can cause your soul to soar. And it also can cause you to focus and to think about what we're here for, why we're here today, what we're celebrating. And I just want to take a couple of minutes and ask. We saw in the cantata what a rope and a rooster and a nail meant. We saw what the resurrection meant to Peter. We can see it all over Scripture. So I have to ask the question. What does the resurrection mean to you? What does it mean to you? I think as I look through Scripture, we could probably find many, many reasons and ways and things that Scripture means to us. But what does it mean to you? Have you ever thought about what it really means? Oh yes, he rose from the dead. That alone is a miracle. I'd just like to look at a couple of things this morning. Romans chapter 1. What does the resurrection mean to you? Does it mean that Jesus is the Son of God? In Romans chapter 1, in the first few verses, Paul says, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son, who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, whom was declared the Son of God with the power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for His name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, who was declared the Son of God with the power by the resurrection from the dead. Christ raised from the dead should mean that He is the Son of God. He is who He said He is. Something I thought about that today. I thought about how when I asked myself this question, I thought, so I say, He was the Son of God. No, He was, He is the Son of God. Because He's alive, we serve a risen Savior. Not someone that we can go to His tomb. Because if we go to His tomb, it's empty. We serve a risen Savior. Does it mean that to you? Does the power of the resurrection mean to you that He is the Son of God? He is who He claimed to be? Because that's important. What we say and what we think about the resurrection is tremendously important. Paul outlined that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He spends the whole chapter talking about nothing but the resurrection. Not only does the resurrection mean that He's the Son of God, it's proof that all that He said is true. It's proof that all that we believe is true. It's proof. Because without it, what we believe isn't true. Just let me read you what Paul says. Bear with me a little bit. Because he says it, God says it, much better than I ever could.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "May I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Doesn't stop there. "And he appeared, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as the one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, we preached, so you believed. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And many say that today, that Christ did not raise from the dead. But it's important, because he says in verse 13, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he has raised Christ, whom he did not raise. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ also have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are above most to be pitied." The resurrection is important because everything hinges on it. If Christ wasn't raised, then we won't be raised when we die. And our faith is vain. But it doesn't stop there. I love the conjunction in verse 20. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death by a man, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and after those who are Christ at his coming. And then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, and he abolishes all rule and all authority and power. And he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things put in subjection, it is evident that he is expected to put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who has subjected all things to him, and God may be all in all." It's important. Everything we believe hinges on the resurrection. Everything. Many say that there was no resurrection. Paul was dealing with it just this close in history, and we deal with it today. And when people say to me, "Christ wasn't raised," and maybe it wasn't true, it was just a lie. The one you hear the most of was the apostles just lied because, you know, Christ said he was going to rise again, so the apostles just lied about it to make it true. Well, let me tell you something. Think about Watergate for a moment. Think about Watergate. Here's illegal activities that happened. Many of you may not remember this if you're young, but President Nixon sent some men to do something illegal, and they did it. And these were loyal men. These are men that were just absolutely the most loyal to President Nixon, that he trusted them to go and do this illegal thing during the presidential elections.
And they did it, and they got caught. Yet through all of that, one person, James Dean, finally rolled over, he finally rolled over and said, hey, it was all, what everything the press has been saying about this, denying it, was all a lie. He really did it. Yet it says to us that Jesus appeared not only to the 12, but to 500 brethren at one time, yet nobody has ever denied that it happened from these witnesses. The disciples died because of it. Would they die because of a lie? Many over the centuries have died for the cause of Christ. Would they die for a lie? No, because it's true. He did rise again. There are witnesses. And when Paul wrote this, he said to them, you can even go and talk to them. We have witnesses today. Did you know that? We have witnesses to the power of the resurrection in our lives. Because that's what gives us the power to live. To deal with the flesh and blood. To be able to deal with the daily things we go through. It's because of His resurrection. Because of His life, His death, and His resurrection, we have the power to live the life God wants us to live. Every day we see that witness in the compassion and love of Christians. Not only for one another, but for the unsaved. We see that every day in the changed lives. People who can testify that they were just trashed. And then the power of God came into their life, the power of His resurrection, and they said, I changed my direction. I have purpose in my life. I have God in my life. I'm not the man or the woman I used to be. I'm different now. That's the power of the resurrection, to change. Not to be the person. People say every day, I can't change. You just got to accept me like I am. No, I'm sorry. I have to disagree. God gives you the power through His resurrection to change. Because only He can do it. You can't do it. You're right. You can't do it. But God can. Because if He can raise from the dead, He can do anything. Sometimes we don't understand the power of the resurrection. In verse 50 of that same chapter 15. He says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit imperishability. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishability. And the mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on imperishability, this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Verse 53, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will all be resurrected one day. And that's because of the power of Jesus Christ, because of His resurrection. But the last thing I think when I ask myself, what does the resurrection mean to me? Yes, it means that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, it means my whole faith pivots on the resurrection. But it also means I have salvation. If we go back to the beginning of the story in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, at the very beginning, when Joseph is trying to make a decision, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows when His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit.
She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated what means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary his wife, but kept her virgin until she gave birth to her son, and he called his name Jesus. What does it mean to you? Does it mean your salvation? Yes, it does. It means that He is the Son of God. It means that all of our faith rests on that, that He is who He said He is, and it means that we have salvation through His resurrection. Not only through His life, but His death. The resurrection sealed it. It sealed it. You know, when I was thinking about this today, the resurrection, and I was thinking about a question. This came to my mind. It was a question that Jesus asked Martha in John chapter 11, around verse 25. Lazarus had died, and Jesus had come. And Martha was rightfully upset. And she asked Jesus. She said in verse 21 of chapter 11, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Then Jesus said this, and this is what affected me. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and even if he dies. And everyone who lives believes in me and will never die." Do you believe this? I had to ask myself, do you believe this? He said right there, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Even though you die, you'll live. Everyone who lives believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe it? What does the resurrection mean to you? Do you believe it? Do you believe that He's the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that no matter what, He can save you? Do you believe it? I had asked myself, that's a great question. He says right there, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Because He rose from the dead, so can we." Yes, physically. Yes, one day. Whether it's through what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Which we call the rapture, or the taking away of the church, whether it's in the death of this body, I'll rise to meet my Lord. Because I believe He's the Son of God. When I think about what the resurrection means, I believe He's the Son of God. I believe that everything hinges on that, on His resurrection. And I know that it means my salvation. And I think, wow, that's absolutely phenomenal for me, a sinner saved by grace. For me, I know God knows my heart, and it scares me to death. Because there's things you don't see about me, but He does. And I have to think to myself, what does this resurrection mean? It means I need to live the way God wants me to live. It means I need to obey His commandments, as we talked about in Sunday school. It means I need to be single-minded. In Matthew chapter 6, He talks about laying your treasures up in heaven. And He talks about having an eye that's clean or an eye that's evil. An eye that's good or an eye that's evil. The eyes are the windows to the soul, so to speak. What you put in. I need to be single-minded. And focused on God because of what He did for me. Because He lived, died, and rose again for me. Because of the power that lays within His resurrection.
Do you believe it? Do you know Him? Can you ask yourself that question? Can you say, what does the resurrection mean to me? Do you say it doesn't mean anything to me? Because I don't believe it. Do you say, yes, it means everything to me? And I do believe it. If you don't, you're lost. Scripture's clear about that. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone out of the way. If you don't know the Lord, see the power of His resurrection. See the power in that resurrection, not only to be raised from the dead one day, but to live the life God wants you to live here on this planet today. He'll give you the power to change. He'll give you power to be what He wants you to be. But let me give you a little insight. He'll change you for the rest of your life. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Once He reaches into your soul and touches you, you will never be the same. You have to live different. I spent years fighting God. When my father died at 19, just at the time when you figure out that your old man actually knows something, that rebellion that I had as a teenager started to die away, I lost my dad. And I got mad about it. Yeah, I was saved and I was trying to do what God wanted me to do, and then I just got mad and threw it down and walked away. I spent the next 6 years being as rebellious as a man can be and doing everything that was opposite of what God says in His Word. But I couldn't get away from it. I just could not get away from it. Alcohol didn't help. Women didn't help. Nothing helped. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't get away from that nagging spirit dragging me back saying, you're different. You're not the same person you were before. You're different. I just couldn't get away from it. It took a telephone pole and a pickup truck to change my mind. For me to get on my knees and realize that, God, you know, you're right. I can't get away from you. I can hide and try all I want to, but there's no getting away. And He changed me forever. And I couldn't get away from it. Because I realized that He was who He said He was. I realized the power of His resurrection to make me the man He wanted me to be. And I'm not there yet. I'm far from it. But we're all on the road. Let me leave you with this. Again, Scripture says it better than any way I could ever say it. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 8. But what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Lord Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you done that? Read the Scripture. You've got to reach out to God yourself. If you don't know the power of His resurrection, if you don't know that He's the Son of God, if you don't realize that everything pivots on that, if you don't realize that He can save, then think about it. He can save. And He says right there what you need to do. Better than I could ever tell you how to do it. If you don't know the Lord today, open your heart to Him. Read the Scripture. Go home. Read Romans chapter 10. Read through the whole chapter. Reach out to God. If you know Him, understand the power of the resurrection in your life to change you and make you the person He wants you to be. He is risen today. Christ is risen. And He is alive. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you sent your son to live for us, die for us, and rise again for us. Your son, your only son. And that everything we believe pivots on his resurrection. And that you sent him to save us, to save what was lost. Father, I thank you so much for saving my soul. I thank you so much, Father, that you didn't let me go. That you hung on to me. You promised that nothing would ever separate me from you. And you demonstrated that power in my life in so many ways. And I give you the glory and honor for it. And I pray, Father, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, who doesn't know you, that they'd reach out to you in their heart today, as the Scripture says, and call upon your name and believe in their heart. God's raised you, your son. Did you raise your son from the dead? You'll be saved. Father, I pray that you touch hearts. And I pray for us, Lord, that know you, that you help us to understand the power of the resurrection in our lives, to be the people you want us to be, and to share that with other people. To share with them, yes, you can be different. Yes, we have a Savior that has the power to change you and make you the person He wants you to be. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name.